will eat grass but will not stop their program as long as they do not feel safe. He also said the growing crisis could cause a planetary catastrophe and a huge loss of life. Putin called for a diplomatic solution to the standoff between Kim Jong-un and President Trump, saying it's senseless to ramp up military hysteria. Putin called North Korea's sixth nuclear test on Sunday provocative.
Today is the 40th anniversary of NASA's Voyager. Voyager 2 was launched on September 5th, 1977, a little more than 2 weeks after Voyager 1 liftoff. Their five-year mission to study Jupiter, Saturn, and the larger moons has now expanded to a long list of scientific firsts. Voyager 1 is now the first spacecraft ever in interstellar space beyond our solar system and more than 13 billion miles from Earth. NASA says, in theory, the Voyagers could travel through space for billions of years. USA Radio News.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour, use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Well, being a jerk on an airline might not just get you shamed on the internet, it also may put a big hit in your pocket. Here's Mark Mayfield.
New Jersey resident James August was ordered by a federal judge on Monday to pay Hawaiian Airlines $98,000. He pleaded guilty in February to interfering with a Honolulu to New York flight, where prosecutors say he threatened his girlfriend, passengers, and crew members. He was given 3 months probation and a fine to cover the airline's costs of fuel and other incidentals like paying to find passengers' other flights on other carriers. However, he doesn't have to pay for the nearly $50,000 in meal vouchers that were given to inconvenienced travelers.
A man's trying to claim that cough syrup drove him to murder. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Matthew Phelps of Raleigh's been studying to become a pastor. He says he had a dream last Friday morning and then woke up to find his wife near death on the floor near the bed. The 28-year-old Phelps telling police he was covered in blood and did find a knife near him. The 29-year-old victim, Lauren Phelps, was found with stab wounds and she was pronounced dead at a hospital. Mr. Phelps claims he took coricidin cough medicine when he couldn't sleep. Bayer, the maker of the product, says it is not associated with violent behavior. Phelps charged with murder now is being held without bond. I'm Chris Barnes.
Pittsburgh International Airport, the first airport in the nation since 9/11 to allow people without tickets to venture beyond security checkpoints. The move will allow non-flyers to see people off at the gate. The TSA signed off on the move. USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! We're talking Afghanistan today. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. Hey, dude, what's up?
Well, aside from this shindig right here with my veteran family, you guys, I'm looking forward to some barbecue with my troops, my three boys and their grandparents, a.k.a. General Mom and Dad. And I just can't avoid bringing you more good news nearly every week, Colonel, that our Frontlines of Freedom family continues to grow. Joining the show this week are the lovely listeners to Fox Radio 910 in Roanoke, Virginia, 1320 WILS in Lansing, Michigan. It's great to be back on air in the capital city. And back in Virginia, Frontlines of Freedom is also debuting on 1370 WHEE and 1450 WMVA in Martinsville. So if you're listening to the program for the first time, I hope you're wearing clean, dry socks and have your canteen filled, because it's time to roll out on this week's hike. Forward, march!
Good to hear, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks, well, military. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking, well, happy. You're happy, Skip. What's up?
Well, I'm always happy. It's almost fall. I can actually look around and I can see the maple trees are turning red. And that's bittersweet for me. It's happy because it means deer hunting season is coming. But it's sad because right after that, it's going to snow for like 4 months.
Really? You think so?
Well, it's happened every other year before. Don't sell your timeshare in Miami, all right?
We're proud to have the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact as studio sponsors. They do wonderful things for the people with traumatic brain injury, specifically military veterans, professional athletes, and first responders. And money's not an issue. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com. Here's what we have for you today. On news and comment by the Colonel, I'm going to agree with the President's recent decision for transgender people in our military. Retired General Arnold Pinero will join us to take a look at President Trump's new position on Afghanistan. Then we're going to meet Captain Jim Palmersheim. He runs American Airlines Military and Veterans Program. They do lots for we military folks. And Air Force Major General Ken Lewis will join us to discuss our Air Force's Reserve Command. Of course, Quentin Roberts and I will discuss Service Academy football. This week, we'll interview Army's coach Jeff Munkin. All the Academy's teams play this weekend, so we'll review those games on next week's show.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. I'd appreciate it if you'd also go out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show, troops. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
The threat of a government shutdown next month due to a back and forth between the White House and Congress over the budget, the debt ceiling, and the border wall has again raised the issue of whether veterans' benefits and military pay would be protected. The last time a government shutdown briefly loomed in April, VA Secretary Shulkin stressed that there would be no impact on veterans' benefits because of the way the VA is funded. At the time, Shulkin said a shutdown posed no risk to veterans and told CBS News, "The VA is in a fortunate situation in that we have what's called an advanced appropriations, so we get our money a year ahead of time, because I think Congress understands that the VA can't shut down, that we are there for the safety of our veterans."
I'm glad that veterans are being protected as Congress and the President struggle over key issues for our nation. But let's get real resolutions to the budget, debt ceiling, and the wall.
Hundreds of veterans paraded through a large convention hall to Sister Sledge's We Are Family, arms wrapped around one another, when the American Legion, a 99-year-old organization representing 2 million veterans, elected its first female national commander at the conclusion of its annual convention. Denise Rohan, an Army veteran living in Wisconsin, now leads what President Trump called, quote, a very powerful organization, end quote. She will represent the Legion for 1 year, traveling the country to visit posts and testifying before Congress. Rohan said, quote, when our organization was started back in 1919, our founders said, a veteran is a veteran. So ever since then, women have been part of our organization, end quote. Disabled American Veterans elected its first female commander, Army veteran Delphine Metcalf Foster, on August 1st. before this month, the first and last female commander of a major national veterans organization was Mary Stout, who led Vietnam Veterans of America back in 1987. Rohan and her husband, Mike, met while serving in the Army. In 1980, an American Legion recruiter knocked on Rohan's door to ask her husband, Mike, to join the local post. When Rohan asked to join the post, she was told to join the American Legion Auxiliary, a group for veteran spouses. Rohan said, quote, "Here I am today, the newly elected national commander of the largest veteran service organization in this nation. And that post that denied me membership 37 years ago? They have a picture of me up in their post with a sign under it that says, 'She could have been a member here. Remember, women are veterans too.'" End quote. As national commander, Rohan sets the theme for the year. She chose Family First, with a renewed focus on supporting families of deployed service members. Rohan said, quote, "American Legion needs to step up, find out who those families are, and make sure we're there for them. It's a matter of national security." End quote.
Congratulations, Commander Rohan. I totally support your focus on caring for military families.
Yes, it sounds like you're off to a great start, Commander Rohan. Keep up the good work. Leading 2 million troops, or members, of the American Legion is a commendable and honorable role. Godspeed. High above the Persian Gulf, an Iranian drone crosses the path of American fighter jets lining up to land on the USS Nimitz. The drone buzzes across the sky at least a mile above the massive aircraft carrier and is spotted by the fighters. It is unarmed, but the presence of the enemy drone so close is worrying. Their biggest fear is the surveillance aircraft will start carrying weapons, posing a more direct threat to U.S. vessels transitioning one of the world's most significant strategic and economic international waterways. Navy Rear Admiral Bill Byrne, commander of the carrier strike group that includes the Nimitz, said, quote, "It's just a matter of time before we see that," end quote. If at some point Byrne believes a drone is threatening his ship, he and his staff would have to carefully proceed through the required responses. Efforts at communication, sounding the horn, firing flares and warning shots, and flying a helicopter close to the unmanned vehicle. If all of those efforts fail and he still perceives a threat, Byrne said it would be his duty, his responsibility, to shoot down the Iranian drone. So far, it hasn't come to that. But the drones have become an even more dangerous security risk as our carriers in the Persian Gulf, like the Nimitz, play a key role in Iraq and Syria. Planes from these ships are regularly flying to each country to bomb ISIS militants and other targets. Iran has routinely challenged U.S. ships and aircraft across the Gulf, asserting at times that the entire waterway is its territory. Navy commanders say Iran's unpredictable behavior is the biggest safety hazard. Commander Byrne said, quote, "Iranians don't always follow the rules. There is a well-established set of norms, standards, and laws. They don't tend to follow them," end quote. To counter the threat, Pentagon experts are searching for new ways to deter, defeat, or disable the drones which fly over the carrier almost daily. They said the danger is that as the F-A-18 fighters return from their missions in Iraq and Syria, they circle overhead, lining up for their turn to land on the carrier. Even if the Iranian drones are only meant to annoy, their buzzing across the American fighter jets' flight paths risks an accident.
Iran is a major threat to the peace of the world and to our nation. At some point, we're going to have to confront them and get things under control. I think we should start by revisiting the really stupid agreement our former president got us into with them. Iran is a menace. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we're going to talk about Afghanistan with retired Marine General Arnold Panera. Eddie's troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. As summer wraps up, whether you're planning one more road trip, a backyard barbecue, or shopping for back to school, it pays to know all of your opportunities to earn rewards. Bank of America Preferred Rewards Executive Kevin Condon recommends layering your rewards programs to maximize earning opportunities.
Many grocery stores and gas stations have their own rewards programs. Earn even more rewards by paying with a credit card like Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards, which offers 3% cash back on gas purchases and 2% cash back at grocery stores and wholesale clubs.
Another tip from Condon is to take advantage of banking rewards programs to further boost credit card rewards.
Bank of America Preferred Rewards offers perks such as credit card cashback bonuses of up to 75%, no-fee ATM transactions, and waived fees on everyday banking services. Since Preferred Rewards launched in 2014, Bank of America customers have earned over $500 million in cashback and points bonuses.
For more information, visit www.bankofamerica.com/preferred-rewards.
We are back, and we are looking at a pretty lopsided matchup, Jim.
That's right, Ron. I mean, in one corner, we've got a 175-pound guy, and in the other, a 6,000-ton heavyweight train.
Jim, this guy has no idea what he's getting himself into.
It's no contest. Every day, people tempt fate and die trespassing on railroad tracks. See tracks, think train.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Late last month, President Trump tweeted, quote, "After a consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgenders in the military would entail," end quote. Transgender members of the U.S. military would be subject to removal at Defense Secretary James Mattis's discretion, and the service would bar transgender people from enlisting under these new White House guidelines for the Pentagon. Gay and lesbian troops have been able to serve openly in our military since 2011. Transgender service members were allowed to do the same in 2016 through an order from then Defense Secretary Ash Carter. That order deferred setting policy on new enlistments. Subsequent comments indicate that presently serving transgender troops who are fully functional and deployable will be permitted to stay in the military. The president implied that they joined in good faith, and he would respect that. An estimate by the RAND Corporation suggests there could be as many as 6,600 transgender troops on active duty and more than 4,100 in the reserves. However, the RAND Corp has long been biased in favor of the LGBT community, so I don't trust their numbers. Estimates by other groups show the number to be perhaps well under 1,000. Former President Obama and his secretaries of defense opened up many jobs in the military that were once closed. Women now serve aboard submarines and in once-closed combat jobs. Gay and lesbian troops now serve openly everywhere. The media treats this as proof that easing restrictions on joining the military is working and should continue. I've covered many times the real problem that allowing women into close combat units like the Army and Marine Infantry and Armor and Army Rangers and Navy SEALs. Women's bodies are simply different than men's. For one thing, their bone density is less, which allows bones to wear out faster. Do we need more disabled veterans? And boys like girls, and vice versa. When you live together in a foxhole for a month, things can happen. And women on ships with men, we don't read a lot about female sailors becoming pregnant, thus unable to deploy, or if already deployed on a ship, they can't do their jobs, but the jobs have to be done. And while gays are serving openly, the number of male-on-male rapes has increased tremendously, though the Pentagon and the media doesn't ever mention this. What do you think all this does to combat readiness? My point here is that there have been changes in who may join, but it's very, very debatable if the result has made our military more or less combat ready. Secretary of Defense Mattis seems to be focused on deployability and combat readiness, and that's exactly where the focus should be. We have a military to protect our nation. It does that by being the biggest, baddest military force in the world, and that means we're the best at killing people and breaking things. We hope we don't have to hurt people or things, but bad guys will avoid messing with us if that's what we do very well. And if you haven't noticed, our nation and our military is really hurting financially. During President Obama's 8 years, our national debt doubled. And that debt has to be dealt with now. So we must be very, very careful where we spend money, and we need to avoid spending money where we can. And the very expensive gender reassignment surgery is something we should avoid. And by the way, a significant number of our excellent military doctors, nurses, and other medical specialists totally disagree with participating in gender reassignment surgery, some for personal reasons and others professionally because it's absolutely not generally considered a valid medical procedure. This is far from a done deal. Congress could, if they wished, write into the wildly complex National Defense Authorization Act, which includes funding for our military, any procedures they wish. Should they decide to favor allowing transgender troops to join our military and put it in the bill, the president would either have to veto the whole bill or yield to Congress. The one big area where our members of Congress seem to be able to work together across the aisle, despite the wild hatred that divides them, is supporting our military. The recent veterans bill is an example. I think our president's decision to ban transgenders is a wise move that will support combat readiness, and I believe that his decision to honor the enlistments of those already in our military who are fully deployable is also a good move. I'm hoping our Congress will do their job and support our military again. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom, and we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, this past week, we have witnessed tremendous flooding, damage, and suffering in southeast Texas from Hurricane Harvey. The videos and pictures of the thousands of rescues reminds many of Hurricane Katrina. And as a Coast Guard member, I'm once again extremely proud of what our service members have done. The Coast Guard has always been charged with search and rescue and was able to immediately deploy and assist during this disaster with 42 helicopters, 7 airplanes, and a number of urban search and rescue crews. Also, 3,000 members of the Texas National Guard were activated even before the hurricane hit Texas. And the entire Texas National Guard, about 12,000 troops, 16 helicopters, and over 200 trucks, were activated after the storm hit. The National Guard from other states have also mobilized, including helicopters from New York, Utah, Nebraska, and North Carolina. The Department of Defense has also mobilized with resources from across the country. Two U.S. Navy warships, the USS Kearsarge and the USS Oak Hill, are being deployed to Texas. The Kearsarge is an amphibious assault ship and loaded up with disaster relief supplies like water and food and 690 U.S. Marines from the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit. The Kearsarge also has aviation assets, including 8 Osprey aircraft, 3 Super Stallions, and 3 Huey helicopters. The first use of active duty military assets in the hurricane rescue efforts were 3 Air Force and 6 Navy helicopters, which began flying rescue missions this past Monday night. And the U.S. Northern Command has also deployed 9 search and rescue helicopters, 2 airplanes, and a number of pararescue crews. All of these helicopters and aircraft have now joined the Coast Guard in the rescue efforts. In addition, more than 100 2.5-ton Army trucks from Fort Hood have been sent to the flood areas of Houston to help rescue and move people through the high water. So far, these active duty military forces, in addition to the Coast Guard and National Guard, have rescued or assisted over 4,700 people. Even with all these military personnel and assets, there has been some criticism on why they were not sent sooner. Retired Lieutenant General Honoré, the former commander of the Joint Task Force that responded to Hurricane Katrina, even called the military's response to Harvey as, quote, amateur hour. What many people don't understand is there's a federal law known as Title 10, which requires that a state government formally request help before federal active duty or reserve forces can assist in disaster relief. I don't know if the criticism of the Department of Defense makes any sense or if Texas should have done a better job of anticipating the scope of this disaster. But I do know I am extremely proud of our military's work in Texas, and I'm sure that nearly 5,000 people that have been rescued are too. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. I really appreciate you, dude. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, retired General Arnold Panaro will discuss the president's plans for Afghanistan. Then we'll learn about the many ways American Airlines supports our military and our veterans. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some sit-ups. 50 of them, then stand at ease.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
If a president can claim sweeping discretion to suspend key federal laws, the entire legislative process becomes little more than a pretense.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions announcing the Trump administration is ending DACA, a policy put in place by the Obama administration to shield illegal immigrant children from deportation. Sessions said the action by the Trump administration is all about the rule of law, putting the pressure now on Congress to act on federal laws.
If we were to keep the Obama administration's executive amnesty policy, the likeliest outcome is that it would, too, be enjoined just as was DACA.
Several Democratic state legislators, including the governor and attorney general of the state of New York, say they're going to sue the Trump administration for ending the policy. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's not just a donation.
It's a warm blanket.
It's a bottle of clean water.
It's a roof and a bed.
It's knowing someone cares.
It's feeling safe.
You said today that's better than yesterday.
Every dollar you can spare helps so much more than you can imagine. Please donate now at redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help people affected by Hurricane Harvey. Your help is urgently needed.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. The team of the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact really helps our troops who suffer from traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress. They also help professional athletes and first responders. These are great people. Check them out at eisenhowercenter.com. It's now time to welcome back to the show retired Marine General Arnold Panero. Arnold served on active duty and in the Marine Reserves and served for a number of years as a staffer on the U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee. So welcome back to the show, Arnold.
Happy to be here.
Arnold, you and I as young lieutenants found ourselves commanding rifle platoons in Vietnam. Give our listeners a quick summary of the rest of your career.
Well, Denny, I started as a volunteer in the United States Marine Corps in the peak year of the draft, which was 1968, and as you indicated, I was over in Vietnam as an infantry platoon commander and served primarily on active duty, you know, for the 4 years I was supposed to, and then spent the rest of my time in the reserves as a grunt, coming up through the ranks in the company, battalion, regiment, and ultimately had the privilege of being the commanding general of the 4th Marine Division. In my civilian hat at the same time, I was working in the Senate Armed Services Committee, ultimately serving as the staff director of that committee for over 15 years. It's a committee that basically provides support and authority and funding for everything we do in the Department of Defense and the intelligence agency. So I've got good experience both in uniform and the civilian world. And after I left the Senate, have served in our defense industry for the last 20 years.
Okay, let's get to our topic, Afghanistan. President Trump recently gave a speech outlining how he plans to deal with the issues there to the extent that he wished to share. I liked a lot of what he said. What's your take on his approach?
Well, first of all, Denny, I know you share my great respect and appreciation and thanks to all of our troops that have served in some of the most difficult circumstances and the most formidable terrain that we have anywhere in the world in Afghanistan for the last 15 years. Our troops from every service in every circumstance continue to perform magnificently and do everything that their country asks of them. From the get-go, when we first went over to Afghanistan and essentially defeated the Taliban and sent them back to their caves, the few that were left standing, and we've kind of gone downhill a little bit since then based on previous administration decisions. I thought the president's speech was one of the best I've heard him give on this topic. It was thoughtful. It was objective. It was analytical. It was non-emotional. He obviously had spent a tremendous amount of time thinking about this. He admitted up front that he changed his mind on Afghanistan. He was inclined to basically think that we could not do any more good over there and bring all the troops home. And obviously, he's changed his mind on that. I'm glad he did, and I'm glad that he had such a thoughtful review and asked a lot of tough questions. Afghanistan is the place from which the terrorists launched their attacks against our country, And if we leave a vacuum over there, it could happen again. Maybe not in the same way, but in a different way, or certainly against our allies. One thing that's very important is let's not kid ourselves. We're never going to turn Afghanistan into a democracy. It's never going to be have the kind of central government and democratic processes we have here in the United States of America. It's still a very tribal nation. It's still a nation that is mountainous and people just aren't connected and their literacy level is just barely at the fourth grade. We're not going to basically put Jeffersonian democracy in place in Afghanistan, and we should not try to do that or kid ourselves that we're doing that. We basically need to be there to basically kill as many of the terrorists as we can and prevent new terrorists from growing up and using that as a training area and sanctuary to export terrorism other places in the world.
I completely agree with that. As you mentioned, our first shot over there right after 9/11 was so wildly successful. It was ridiculous just helping the Northern Alliance beat the Taliban. We had a few soldiers on the ground and a lot of airstrikes. But then we didn't follow up on that, and we get to do it again. That said, I totally agree. We are not in the nation-building mode, and who are we to decide what kind of government they're going to have? Most countries in the world, certainly three-quarters of them, wouldn't know what a democracy if one bit them on the arm. And to come in and say, you are now going to have a democracy, is sort of stupid, particularly since these countries are basically tribal and want to do it their own way, the way they've done it for years. So to try to change that is to take a burden on this ridiculous.
The other thing we've got to realize, and this is one of the reasons why we were very concerned, particularly during the Reagan administration, with what was going on in some countries in Africa. And people were thinking, well, why were we involved in some of the actions that were going on over there? Because the Russians were there, the Chinese were there, the Cubans were there. Right now, we see Russia basically funding the terrorists. We see Iran funding terrorists. And so it's not just us versus the Taliban. It's basically we need to be there to basically make sure that a buildup of terrorist capability is not sufficient so where they can basically threaten us and threaten our allies. And we particularly need to be concerned about making sure that we keep our eyes on Pakistan and keep them from proliferating nuclear weapons to terrorists. I personally think Pakistan has already been the bad guy in terms of nuclear proliferation. You know, our intelligence community doesn't talk about it publicly. I don't have access to any sensitive information on this subject anymore, but I think there's plenty of evidence from years past that they've not been good actors here. Furthermore, there's still a lot of terrorists living in the federally administered tribal areas, the Fatah in Pakistan, and we cannot allow that to be a sanctuary either for terrorists. And so we're going to have to come up with a better relationship with the PACs, even though they helped us push the Soviets out of Afghanistan when they supported the Mujahideen, which we also supported. But right now, Pakistan is not being as helpful as they need to be.
There's an awful lot of countries in that area around the world, but we're talking Mideast right now, where we give an awful lot of foreign aid to who are doing nothing for us and maybe working against us.
You're exactly right. And I mean, my boss in the Senate for many years was Senator Sam Nunn from Georgia, hugely conservative Southern Democrat of the old school, more conservative than most of the Republicans today. And his predecessor was the legendary Richard Russell. He never voted for one penny for foreign aid because he just thought it was all wasted. But you're absolutely correct. We give billions and billions and billions of dollars to countries like Pakistan that don't always be as helpful as they need to be. Now, great news in that part of the world is India, which was always aligned with the Soviet Union, is now aligned with us. And now, of course, there's tremendous tension between India and Pakistan. Both countries have nuclear weapons, so we got to be careful there. But India being one of the most populous nations in the world and one of the largest democracies in the world, certainly it's to our advantage to be better aligned with them than we have been in the past. And they're certainly a buffer against Pakistan.
Yes, there's no doubt about that, because I think we need to take a look as part of all of this is take a look at our foreign aid. Who are we giving money to and why are we giving money to them? And it's not that you cut the string instantly. If we've been given them money, we need to give them a little bit of time to plan for the withdrawal. But nonetheless,
yeah, and I would say the good news there is President Trump and the administration has taken a really, really hard look at all of that, and from de novo, and not just, okay, let's just keep doing it because this is the way we've always done it. So hopefully they'll come up with, like you say, a plan that allows for some transition, and also he's correct to be putting additional pressure on our allies to do more for the common defense, both NATO, both Japan, both South Korea. I mean, we're in a very, very tense situation on the Korean Peninsula right now. And I mean, we've been there since the DMZ was created at right after the Korean War, the armistice. You know, the war has never been declared over. We're still at war with we're still allied with South Korea and other allies against North Korea. The war is still going. It's just we are in an armistice right now. And the South Korean economy is quite robust and doing very well. And so they need to ensure. And, of course, Japan's all excited about North Korea shooting the ballistic missile over their territory. Well, they've kept their defense expenditures under 1% of their GDP. They need to beef up their own defenses as well.
Yep, we're no longer going to be the guy that protects everybody so they can build their own socialist economies. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. It's summer troops. Go out in your lawn and do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then do 20 more sit-ups and take a break. Stay in the area. General Pinaro and I will be right back to continue talking about Afghanistan.
When it comes to new window coverings, everybody has a budget. And Budget Blinds is the one place that understands you and your budget perfectly. Budget Blinds provides more custom window coverings than anyone in North America because we think that everyone, at every budget, deserves beautiful style, expert service, our no-surprises pricing, and our no-questions-asked warranty. Right now, during our 25th anniversary celebration, you'll get an even better value during the biggest sale of the year. Special upgrades like invisible tilt bar on shutters, free smart fit, or a cordless option on honeycomb shades for a clean, uncluttered contemporary look. Book your free in-home consultation now. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS or go online to budgetblinds.com. Forget do-it-yourself. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS and get style and service that fit your budget. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS now.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Arnold Panaro about our nation's new policy on Afghanistan. One of the things that concerns me is that we sort of have to stay there, I think, and this applies to Syria too, because if we pull out, well, we don't want to pull out because we want to have some say on how this all works out, even though nobody knows how it's going to work out. Because if we pull out, Russia or Iran or somebody's going to jump in and take over the whole darn thing. Is that a reasonable statement?
It is a reasonable statement, and it's a practical statement, it's a realistic statement, and it's a clear-headed statement. I mean, we have vested interest in ensuring that, for example, in the Middle East, Iran is fomenting terrorism and sponsoring terrorism against all of our allies and against all of our interests. We can't let them become a dominant power in the Middle East. They are inimical to U.S. interest. Frankly, I don't think we ever should have signed the nuclear deal with Iran, and I don't think we ought to let our big corporations sell billions and billions of dollars of our high technology to Iran with money that we gave them back. But that's just me. But when you go to Southeast Asia, we have the same situation. We can't let our enemies get a foothold in that part of the world and have domination over there. It's not the domino theory that was discredited in Vietnam. Of course, Vietnam's one of our great trading partners now. But we need to be there to prevent the terrorists from basically, and let's not kid ourselves, Al-Qaeda was bad enough. ISIS is even worse. I mean, these are people that kill women and children and don't blink an eye. These are people that commit horrible acts of torture against civilians and don't blink an eye. And let's not kid ourselves, if they could get their hand on a crude nuclear device, they'd detonate in lower Manhattan and try to kill a million U.S. citizens. So we have got to be in places that are inhospitable, that we don't want to really be there, but we've got to be there to protect our country and our citizens.
You know, I have said many times that my feeling is that we shouldn't send our military anywhere unless we have a specific goal and know when it is and when we get there so we know when to pull them out. But I'm changing my mind here. I think we need an indefinite presence just so that Russia, Iran, those kind of folks, ISIS, whomever, doesn't take over this turf. We need a presence that's ill-defined. I think that's what we've been talking about, because that's a very important part of the world to us and to our allies, right?
You're exactly right. And let's face it. I mean, we've been in Western Europe after World War II, you know, since 1945. And those economies are flourishing. And we prevented the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact from dominating Europe. We prevented, you know, another Hitler from rising by the fact that the U.S. is there and we've got a strong alliances. Now, they, again, need to do more for their own defense. But we got the same thing. I mean, what we did with Japan at the end of the war, they built their economy. What we've done with South Korea after the war with North Korea, they rebuilt their economy, and they all need to do more. But us being there for long, 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 long periods of time has basically promoted peace, stability, and economic growth and better situations for both our country and their own citizens. So the fact that we have to be somewhere for a long, long time, history has proven that that actually works. Now, the new wrinkle, and I think the administration is correct and the president's correct, we haven't been as demanding of our allies in terms of them picking up more of their own slack. Some countries are better than others. Japan actually offsets a lot of the cost of us being over there, as does South Korea, but they still all could do more. But it's in our own interest. We're there because it's in our national security interest for our own citizens and our security here at home for us to be there.
I agree. Yes, we want to help our friends. Yes, we want to do good things. Yes, we want to save innocent people's lives who are not Americans. But we have to have an American reason to be there, and there's plenty of American reason to be there. That's an important part of the world to us.
At the same time, I totally agree with your point about our allies have to do more. NATO is totally wussy. As I've looked at it, the average NATO country has military, has some really good special ops people and some great parade ground people for presidential reviews and almost nothing else.
Some of the countries, yeah, we used to call in the peak of the Cold War, the Netherlands, we called it the gaping hole in the Dutch Corps because their troops were never where they were supposed to be. Some of the countries are actually doing really well and have got good capabilities, but it's not even across the board. But again, I think for the Cold War and now for the hot wars we're in now, we owe our troops. We owe our soldiers, sailor, airmen, marine, Coast Guard, our defense civilians that in the intelligence agencies that serve overseas and their lives are on the line every day as well. Our State Department personnel, you know, that everybody kind of looks down on some days, but they're out there in harm's way in some very, very forbidding places in the world, all working together to basically protect our citizens here at home by having that forward deployment overseas. And it's expensive, and our troops never complain. And the other thing in Afghanistan is I think we've got, again, you and I both agree, we're not going to, you know, put a Jeffersonian democracy there. The other thing is we can't be holier than thou and expect those countries to change just the basic way they are. Corruption is a part of life over there, and you want to reduce it as much as possible, but you're never going to basically eliminate it. And you're not going to eliminate the opium trade, regrettably. But that's just their way of life. They've been doing that for centuries. They've been doing it for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And you're just not going to change that. So we need to keep our focus on killing terrorists and preventing terrorists from building up sanctuaries where they can attack us. That's what our focus ought to be.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing the president's new policy about actions in Afghanistan, the retired Marine General Arnold Pinheiro. So, Arnold, I think we agree the president's plan in Afghanistan, which is not totally stated, but what he did tell us is we're going to be there. We have an interest in being there. We're going to be helping our allies. We're not going to carry the ball for them, but we're going to help them carry it. And that makes sense. And we're going to be there as long as we need to be, because we know who the enemy is, at least over there. I think that's solid. As a matter of fact, I can't think of anything you could do much better to include not telling us more. The last thing we need to do is tell the enemy what the plans are, like the last administration did regularly.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. And it's not time-based. We're not setting any, you know, deadlines. Everybody's going to be gone by such and such a date. And the other thing is the rules of engagement are such that our military forces have always been able to defend themselves, but they're also going to be able to go after the bad guys when they need to.
Yes, sir. Those rules of engagement are the secret to everything. And I guess as two grunts, we have lived with that, so we know what it's about. Arnold, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, and thank you for being part of our team. I'm delighted to call you brother.
Amen. It's always a great privilege to be with you, Denny, and be with your listeners.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. A lady who's a Navy spouse and Air Force vet on August 13th became the 1,767th person to ever complete a swim across the English Channel. She did it in 14 hours and 41 minutes. Amy Hayes, who lives at RAF, that's Royal Air Force Molesworth, with her husband and four kids, has been training for the swim for 2 years. Hayes, who has been a swimmer off and on since completing on a swim team in high school, decided to tackle the English Channel after taking a trip to Dover, England with her husband shortly after they arrived. She said, "We could see France, and I was like, I think I want to swim over there," she said. Now, swimming the English Channel is not something tackled lightly. An association logs those who have completed the 21-mile swim, considered by many to be the ultimate long-distance swim challenge. With large vessel traffic, sea life threats including jellyfish, and a temperature of around 60 degrees in the summer, the route takes on average just under 14 hours of near-continuous swimming to complete. To be an official finisher, swimmers cannot wear a wetsuit or any other clothing that gives buoyancy or receive any physical help during the swim other than to have items like food handed to him or her in the water. Hayes said she was just starting to recover physically. Her right shoulder had started hurting just a few hours into her swim and became excruciating around hour 12. She ultimately pushed through the pain and the challenge of the changing tide. It just kept going through my head how much time and energy and money I'd put into this, she said. She's also stung by a jellyfish over 30 times during the swim, including once after accidentally swimming straight into the bottom of one. Hayes, who admits she's a junkie for finish lines, said that doing hard things is more than just the challenge at the moment. She says teaching herself to overcome tough physical challenges has helped her roll with the punches of military life. You can do really hard things, and when you achieve those goals, you can say, I did that, so I can probably do anything, she said. When hard things happen in life that I didn't choose come along, I'd better be equipped. Previously a stay-at-home mom, she put her two children, who were not yet in school, in child care so she could focus on the training, but she is still glad she did it, and she's ready to move on to the next task, whatever that will be. So stand tall, Amy Hayes. Frontlines of Freedom and all our listeners salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with American Airlines Captain Jim Palmersheim about all the ways American Airlines supports our military and veterans. Then, Air Force Major General Ken Lewis will discuss our Air Force's Reserve Command, and we'll interview the Army football coach, Jeff Munkin. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, go outside and run some wind sprints. Then, grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Spartan Ash is excited to support LZ Michigan, a community festival designed to remember, honor, and celebrate veterans and their families.
The event will take place on Saturday, September 23rd at 5th Third Ballpark in Grand Rapids, Michigan. LZ Michigan is free of charge due to the generous support of Spartan Ash, and complimentary tickets will be available at all Spartan Ash retail locations in Michigan starting later this summer.
Learn more at lzmichigan.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
If a president can claim sweeping discretion to suspend key federal laws, the entire legislative process becomes little more than a pretense.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions announcing the Trump administration is ending DACA, a policy put in place by the Obama administration to shield illegal immigrant children from deportation. Sessions said the action by the Trump administration is all about the rule of law, putting the pressure now on Congress to act on federal laws.
If we were to keep the Obama administration's executive amnesty policy, the likeliest outcome is that it would, too, be enjoined just as was DACA.
Several Democratic state legislators, including the governor and attorney general of the state of New York, say they're going to sue the Trump administration for ending the policy. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form, specifically in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Right now at the Home Depot, Ortho Home Defense ready-to-use 1 gallon perimeter spray, Ortho Bug Be Gone 32-ounce concentrate, or 10-pound bag is your choice, two for just $10. Making bugs disappear is quite a trick. Ortho Home Defense and Bug Be Gone can knock out over 100 types of insects. Money in your pocket, fewer pests in your home and lawn. Start your own disappearing act with Ortho Home Defense and Bug Be Gone. Your choice, two for just $10. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 6th, U.S. only. See store for details.
All eyes in the weather world on Hurricane Irma. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Bob Bright of the National Weather Service says it is too early for even the most seasoned of forecasters to know for sure where Irma will go, but there is an increasing likelihood it will affect part of the southeast U.S. And?
At this point, the highest confidence would be in Florida.
And not taking chances, the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, has already issued an executive order placing all 67 of his state's counties under a state of emergency, and he's urging residents to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I'm Chris Barnes.
A plane heading to New York back on the ground in Tokyo after a bird strike forced it to make an emergency landing. The Japan Airlines plane reported the emergency minutes after takeoff today from Tokyo's international airport. Video shows flames shooting out of one of the plane's engines. The plane returned to the airport and landed.